I just want to read one verse with you. It's found probably in the last page of your Bible. It's almost the last verse of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, and we're reading verse 17. Some of you will know it off by heart. Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now maybe you don't have your Bible out at home, so I'm going to read it again, just so it sinks in. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And amen. God will bless the reading of his word. And I'm going to get to that by and by. It is maybe a sign that I am getting older, but I seem to have trouble with some of the public address systems. Whether it is in stores or maybe a doctor's surgery or particularly at airports, the announcements somehow seem vague. They seem blurred or incoherent. It's as if they have marbles in their mouth, and I just can't make out exactly what they're saying. And I suppose that's particularly important in an airport. I remember 17 years ago, 2004, my wife Leslie and I went to New Zealand. My brother was living then in New Zealand, and we went out to visit him. It was our 25th wedding anniversary. And to cut a long story short, we missed our flight from Los Angeles to Auckland in New Zealand. We got a later flight, and when we got on that flight and found our seats and we were getting ourselves comfortable and getting settled, I noticed a man across the aisle from me was very agitated and very unsettled, and he kept saying, I missed my flight. I missed my flight. And so I said to him, yes, we missed our flight too. We got held up in Heathrow in London, and we missed our connection. And he turned on me and nearly snapped. And he says, but you don't understand. He says, I was early. I was early. I'm always early. He says, in fact, I was so early. I was told I was too early to book in. And eventually, when I went back to the desk, they told me that my flight was on the tarmac. And it was leaving, and I was too late. He was furious, not road rage, but plane rage. And he had argued with the staff that there was no announcement. And they said, sir, announcement was made. Everybody else heard it. Everybody else is on the flight. And you've missed it. Either he didn't understand the call, or he missed his call. In airports, there is an announcement made. And every time it's made, it grips my attention. It goes like this. This is the last and final call for passengers traveling to, let's say, Auckland. Please, will all remaining passengers go to gate number 23? This is the last and final call. This angry man beside me on the flight to Auckland had missed his last and final call. He didn't hear it. He didn't know what he was doing, that he missed it. Maybe he fell asleep. Maybe he was reading a book. Maybe he was watching the crowds go by and was engrossed. And maybe he had heard so many announcements that he got so familiar with them that he missed his announcement. But he missed the call. And whenever he presented himself at the gate, the flight was closed. He had missed his final call. Whenever we come to the Bible, we find that the Bible, in a sense, is God's public address system. The Bible is the way that God speaks to you directly on planet Earth. He can speak in many ways, but primarily he speaks through his word. And the Bible, if you like, is God's microphone, and through the truth of this book, he talks to you and me tonight. He talks to the whole world through the Bible. And you can trace it. If we had time, we could go back to Genesis. And there was a civilization, an ancient civilization, which was corrupt and violent. And they were under God's judgment. And God found a man who was righteous called Noah and said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. And you'll read about Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9, and how Noah preached for around 120 years. And then God's PA system comes in chapter 7 and verse 1. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. Come. God's PA system, right in the first book of the Bible, saying, come, come. We could go through it, couldn't we? And we could come to the prophets. And God is still giving that announcement. I think of the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah, his name means the salvation of God. He started preaching about 758 BC. According to tradition, he was sawn asunder by King Manasseh. Whether that's right or not, we don't know. But we hear God's PA system. Because in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, he says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God's call. He said to Noah, come. He says through Isaiah the prophet, come. Amazing. Whenever we come to other passages, we come to the New Testament, and the Lord Jesus is walking on the earth, and he stood on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built on a hill. It didn't have a natural water source. And so the pilgrims after the feast were getting thirsty. And he stood in that last day of the feast. And the crowd waited to hear what he'd say. And it was God's PA system. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. John 7:37. Come. All through the pages of Scripture, Genesis, Isaiah, here in our New Testament, come, come, come. Repeated so many times. This call is not vague. This call is not blurred. This call is not incoherent. This call is clear and audible and unmistakable. It is a clear call. He says, come. And just before the last writer finishes his letter in Revelation, John is on the Isle of Patmos, a little small island about 10 miles long, 6 miles wide, a rocky wee island. He's been sent there to exile because of his preaching. And he's writing the divine revelation of Jesus Christ. And just before he comes to the last book, the last chapter, the last verse, he's just about to put his pen down. God says, wait a minute, John. I want to give one last and final call. We read it tonight. He says, I want to give the people of earth a last and final call. He says, come. Let him that heareth, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And so in this verse that we have before us, through the public address system of his word, to all the people of the earth, I hope you've got it tuned in tonight. I hope the volume is tuned up. I hope you have all the settings right. I hope your ears are tuned to his voice. God addresses the people of earth. In fact, he addresses you listening into this service in Points Pass here in Ireland. And he says to you, your last and final call, come. The Spirit and the Bride say come. Let him that is athirst come. He's speaking to you tonight. Maybe you've heard that call many, many times. You've heard it from your Sunday school days. Heard it from your parents' knee. Maybe as they put you to bed at night, they sung you the hymns of Zion and told you the stories of the Bible and explained the way of salvation. But even with all of that, this tonight, as you sit at home, as you tune into the service, this could be your last and final call. God could be saying to you, John, Mary, Billy, Rosemary, Tom, whatever your name is, this is your last and final call. That man on the flight beside me, it never occurred to him that he would miss his flight. He was early. He was organized. He thought he had everything in order. He had every intention of being on the flight. He was certain he'd be there. But he missed his final call. Could this happen to you? With all the gospel invitations you have heard, with all the Bible verses that you have read, with all the gospel tracts that you have received, with all the gospel hymns that you have sung, and yet with it all, you miss it. Tonight he comes again at the very end of our Bible, the very last and final call. What does this announcement say? Let's look at it for a moment. First of all, I want to ask, who invites sinners to come? And we're told, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. So it is a dual invitation. It's certainly not Pastor Kennedy. It's certainly not the folk from Points Pass Baptist. No, it's bigger than that. This is the Holy Spirit and the Church of Jesus Christ. The Spirit and the Bride. That Bride is just another title for the Church of Jesus Christ. So the callers are twofold. Primarily, it's the Spirit of God. And then secondly, it is the burden of the Church, the Bride. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to convince and to convict men and women and young people of their sin and point them to the Lord Jesus. And that is exactly what he's doing through this service tonight. Maybe you sit at home, maybe you drive your car, maybe you're sitting somewhere having a bite to eat, and here this last and final call comes once again, and the Spirit of God is stirring your heart. There's a knot in your stomach. All of a sudden you're not hungry anymore. All of a sudden you're thinking of what you've done in the past and you're wondering what lies ahead in eternity for you. And the Spirit of God is stirring your heart and making you realize that you're not ready for eternity. He disturbs, he convicts, he unsettles. That's what he's doing to you tonight. As you sit in the comfort maybe of your home, your feet up, cup of coffee in your hand, and yet your stomach is in turmoil because you've sinned not dealt with. Not only the Spirit, but the ministry of the Church, the Bride, is to win souls. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Church of Jesus Christ is to make disciples of all nations. That is our job description. That is our raison d'etre, our reason for being. And so we pray and we invite and we witness and we talk and we share. Because we want you to come. In this service, the Holy Spirit of God is convicting, and the holy saints of God are praying. Maybe you have a mum praying for you. Maybe a granny and granda prayed for you. Maybe you have a son or daughter burdened that you're still outside of the fold of God. And you seem blasé about it. Oh, the burden of their heart is you would come to Christ. This is maybe, certainly in the Bible, it's the last and final call, but it could be your last and final call. Who invites you to come? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Bride of Christ, the Church, call on you to come. Because if you don't come, you're under the wrath and the judgment of God. If you died, we need to be aware, we need you to be aware that without Jesus Christ as Savior, you're lost. Not just lost for a day or two or a week or two or a month or a year or two. Lost for all eternity. Lost forever without hope. You couldn't even contemplate it. This could be your last and final call. Who invites you to come? The Spirit and the Bride. Secondly, Who are those who are called? Who isn't? Because you could be sitting at home saying, well, does it mean me? Does it mean the person next door to me? Does it mean someone down the street? How do you know, preacher, it's for me? Well, the Bible tells us it is for those who are spiritually thirsty. That's what it says. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Those who are spiritually thirsty, that is, those who are dissatisfied living without God. Those who are tired of sin and its slavery. Those who long to know that it's well for eternity, and they want to know that all is well. No matter what happens, it's well with my soul. Those that are thirsty for spiritual reality. Oh, and we could go through the Bible, couldn't we? We could think of Zacchaeus there in Luke chapter 19. He was thirsty. He was a tax collector. He was a rich man. He was notorious in the community in Jericho. But he had no friends. And he was empty. And he was thirsty for reality. And he heard that Jesus was coming. And he ran ahead and climbed up the sycamore tree. Remember, 2017, we were out in Israel with a group, and my son climbed one of the sycamore trees there up by Galilee, and we took photographs of him up the sycamore tree. But Zacchaeus ran ahead, climbed up the sycamore tree, and the Lord Jesus stopped right underneath the tree and gave him his last and final call. Zacchaeus, come down. And Zacchaeus received him joyfully. He was thirsty. I tell you, the publican in the temple. Do you remember Luke 18? There's a scene there in the temple. And there's a Pharisee dressed in all his religious regalia. And he made a whole fuss so that everybody could see that he was in the place of worship. And he was praying. And my, he was loud. And he was vocal, and he wanted everybody to know. But just round by the pillar, you could hardly see him. There was a publican, and he was embarrassed, and he was thirsty, and he could hardly lift his head, and he smote his chest, and he says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He was thirsty. And he went home justified. And the rich Pharisee went home the same way as he came. It didn't make a bit of difference. God is not impressed with the outward. God is not impressed with the verses you know or the theology that you know. He looks at the heart. It's by their fruit ye shall know them. Zacchaeus was thirsty. This publican was thirsty. I think of the woman at Sychar's well. Do you remember there in John 4? She longed to be loved. She had had relationship after relationship, failed relationship after another, and she was now living with a man, and the society had ostracized her. And she went in the peak of the sun when nobody else would be about. She was tired of the giggles and the snide remarks. She was thirsty. And the Lord Jesus met her that day. And he says, if you drink of the water that I shall give, you'll never thirst again. Never. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Because she was thirsty. Every relationship, she was thirsty, thirsty, thirsty. And it never seemed to meet the need of the heart. Oh, but Jesus says, I'm the water of life. If you drink of the water that I shall give, you'll never thirst again. This world is full of thirsty people. Full of spiritually thirsty people. But often they try to have their thirst quenched by the wells of this world. And they don't satisfy. Oh, maybe a day or two. Buy a new gadget and it keeps you going for a day or two. But it doesn't meet the deep need of the heart. It's a spiritual problem. And it can only be met by God through Jesus Christ, who loved you and died for you. He died on the cross so that he could offer you a satisfaction that meets the deepest need of the heart. And this is not tonight about twisting arms. This is not about high pressure tactics. This is not about long appeals or eloquent preaching, if I was able to do that. This is a call going out to those who are spiritually hurting and spiritually burdened, in trouble and oppressed by sin, and you're thirsty in your soul. Says the Word of God, come. Come. Is that you tonight? Is that speaking about you tonight? And you could say with a hymn writer, I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but their waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wept. And the chorus says, now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and joy and lasting life, Lord Jesus, found in thee. God's PA system. Right from Genesis, through to the prophets, through to the Lord Jesus, and now in the very last verses of the Bible, that appeal goes out, that PA system is clear, that call goes to you, come, come. He that is athirst, come. Sin has taken its toll. Others might not see it, but you feel it. Ah, but something else. Who invites sinners to come? The Holy Spirit and the bride, the Church of Jesus Christ. We appeal to you to come. Who are those who are invited? Those who are thirsty. Those who are thirsty. Those who know that this world cannot hit the spot. It just doesn't answer the deepest need of the heart. Only Christ can meet that. The gap, the emptiness in your soul is Jesus Christ shaped. He can meet the need. But thirdly and finally, what is the invitation? It is to let him take the water of life freely. That's what I said. Let me read it all again. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, that's you. You could put your name in there, couldn't you? Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That is, to freely quench your spiritual thirst in Christ. What does that mean? It's to acknowledge that Jesus was God's Son. That he came as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. It's to acknowledge that he went to the cross, not to die for his own sin because he had none, but to die for your sin and your guilt and your punishment. He took your place. He was your substitute. And you embrace that with all your heart and say, Jesus died for me. Jesus shed his blood that I might go free. That meets the deepest thirst of your soul. He shed his blood. And from that death flows a river of forgiveness and cleansing and peace to quench the thirsty soul. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, I know Christians and they don't look satisfied. Isn't that right? You know them. You probably could give me the names. You know something? I know them too. Very sad. And the cares of this life are inclined to take the smile from our face and we start to fret like others. But it shouldn't be so. Why? To know Jesus Christ lifts even the deepest troubles of life to a different level, because we know that all is well for eternity. And there's a smile even in the darkest of days and even in the most difficult of circumstances. Without this cleansing, without drinking of the water of life freely, that water of life is just the provision of Jesus Christ. Drink of it freely. If you don't, then heaven's door is closed and locked to you. Pastor, you say the verse is freely take. How do I do it? I'm sitting at home today, tuning into the service. How do we do it? Will you turn away from your sinful life? The Bible calls it repentance. It's a complete turnaround. I'm not going in that direction anymore. I'm now going in this direction. I was once walking away from God. Now I'm walking to God. I was once walking to hell. Now I'm walking to heaven. A complete turnaround. It's called repentance. And rest on the sacrificial provision of Calvary. Jesus died for me. And when you do, he pours the water of life into you. You become a new creation. You know, in airports, I have sat and heard over the PA system, this is the last and final call for flight number 5372 to Auckland or wherever. And suddenly, you see people, they put their books away, they put their Sudoku away, and the crossword, and the word search, and they gather their belongings, and they count the kids, and they respond to the call, and they're going to the gate. They've heard the announcement. But at the same time, there's a man stretched over three seats, fast asleep. And there's somebody else with earphones on, iPods or MP3s or whatever they call them, listen to their music, oblivious to the call. And I think to myself, I hope that announcement's not for them. I hope they're not sleeping through their last and final call. I hope they're not deaf to their final call. God's PA system is clear as crystal. This is his last and final call. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It could be your last and final call. And you might never feel that knot in the stomach. You might never feel concerned. You might never feel anxious. And you will lose it. You missed your last and final call. Will you come tonight? Will you come and respond to God's last and final call? The gate is closing. The gate is closing soon. Don't miss it. Come now. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm turning away from sin, but I'm trusting that you love me and you sent your son to die for me, and I'm surrendering my life to him. Get in the gate. Get in now. Get in before it's too late. May God bless you to do so. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word, this last and final call that we find in Revelation 22. Father, we have all, maybe all of us have been in airports and we have seen the people coming to the gate and some coming too early and some coming too late and some asleep and some with earphones on. And oh, our Father, we pray that tonight and points past, as people tune in, that they might hear God's last and final call. Father, we pray that they will sense that spiritual thirst in their soul and that they might drink the water of life that comes through knowing Jesus Christ, that they might drink the water of life freely, granted for Christ's sake. And may none miss the final call, granted for Christ's sake. Amen.